It is all, it's all happening in our cities. Just lately, there's an Extinction Rebellion. Our urban confrontation with climate change, well, that has only just begun. And then there's population. It's booming. By mid-century, around 70% of us will live in cities. They'll be straining to cope, these cities of the future. And what will they be? What shape will they take? Will they be vast lakes of people sort of spreading out to infinity, or crowded forests of towers with swarms of buzzing drones? Will our cities continue to juggle that often conflicting priority of investment and habitability? And what will architecture have to do with it? The role, the impact of architecture, that is under the spotlight at Sydney's Sherman Centre for Cultural and Ideas. Now, its annual Architecture Hub, that conference, it's featured both of my guests. They're both celebrated practitioners. Su Fujimoto, he graduated from the University of Tokyo back in 1994. He established Su Fujimoto Architects in 2000. And Adele Deck is an award-winning French architect, an urban planner, an academic, and a founder of the French firm Studio Adele Deck. Welcome, both of you, to Blueprint.
Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi. Adele, can we just begin? What are some of the key things you think that will shape the cities of our future?
I don't know if the city will change so much. I have the feeling that they have to change a bit. Because the first thing that will change a lot will be the traffic and the circulation, and we will move differently, we will live differently thanks to that. Mm. After that, we will have more and more people in the city, so we have to provide them affordable housing, affordable place for living. And it's not so easy, as you said, depending on the finance and the capitalistic system of building buildings. Of the industry of construction. So I think that we have to think a lot how to make the city better and how to make it more friendly, because with places for people to meet each other, not only flats and transportation.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it, Sue? As Adele says there, so many of the issues around our city are about accommodating just simple human need. It seems that our cities have walked a little bit away from that.
Mm-hmm. I have an office in Tokyo and Paris now. And in a sense, two so different city. And in Tokyo, we have many, many, in a sense, density and many new things. While in Paris, we have history and the comfortable corner of the cafe. But at the same time, I understand the center of the Paris is now, the price is getting really high and the traffic is getting very busy. So such a, the richness of the life is making kind of such a cost in a sense. And as an architect, I feel, of course, we have a responsibility to create the visions for the future of the city. And of course, we don't know yet what exactly it is. And my feeling is the city could be like a village, but at the same time, like a forest, in a sense, in a rather high density should be. Mm. And when I say village, it's not just like the countryside village, but I mean human scale friendly and creating such a place for the community and the communications. And at the same time, when I talk about the forest, it's not only about the physical greens, but also, like, again, the mixtures of the good different scales, from tiny scales, human scales, and the larger scales. So those kind of a harmony of the scales is also very important.
That idea, Adele, of the harmony of scales, of those the sort of mixed dimensions in an urban space, in so many of our cities, and this is because I suspect of the pressure of investment and the pressure of money and space, that we tend to ignore that need for that human harmony. How do we address that?
I understand why Sue is talking about that, because in Tokyo you have the both scale at the same time. When you travel into the city, you see little housing and big blocks. But in Paris, everything is at the same scale. It has the same dimension, same height. So the density is much more, in a way, it's much more dense, because you don't have differences. And I strongly believe that the question of human scale is really important, and most of the cities have lost that today because of the growings and because of the fact that people were coming for just buying flat and rented it. And we have to find affordable places for people, and this is more and more difficult in Paris today. I understand that the people in my office, or the students from my school, they have a lot more and more difficulties to find places for living, and they are smaller and smaller. And so this is why, as architect, we have the responsibility to understand that and to give ideas to the politicians, because the politicians are not totally helpless for doing that today.
Well, I wonder, in looking at the way in which architecture relates to the city of the future, Adil, your combination of interests as an architect, as an urban planner as well, is that the way that architecture has to shift? It has to embrace more of that sense of urban planning, of the context into which buildings sit?
I strongly believe that architecture is embracing all of that already, because you can't be an architect or working with architecture without thinking about the city, about the urban planning, about the little scale and the big scale. This is impossible, and it has always been into architecture.
And so in your practice, there's an emphasis on the relationship of buildings to the natural world as well. That becomes an increasingly complex task in our increasingly compressed urban spaces.
Well, yeah, I think so. And we have a kind of a clear question how we can integrate such the green nature into the urban situations, not spoiling the density, because the fact is we need a kind of a densities. But even though we need a densities, and even though we need maybe rather larger high-rise buildings, I believe we can find a way to integrate the human scales and the greens into that kind of a larger scales. The combination of the small scales and larger scales, the green and the architectures, is possible, I believe.
But that would go back to the point Adil makes, I think, Sue, of the necessity of planning, of a real emphasis on urban design to guarantee that interplay of nature and people.
We can't think the city on only one way, buildings. It's impossible. This is what we did before. This is why Sue is right, when we have to integrate everything together and having a really more interesting life in the city. And so you have to, the mixity of the Haussmann buildings before, they were vertical. The rich, the less rich and the poor were living in the same place. Now you don't live like that. You have the rich in one building, in an area, and the poor somewhere else. So even the question of the social question is not solved today. And this is really what we are facing also today. And this is why, but architecture has to embrace all these disciplines, and this is the only way to do real architecture for me.
And yet, Sue, architecture is so often the thing that is purchased by the powerful. It so often lacks that sort of social dimension. How does architecture push back against that?
Well, yeah, I think we can work in a diverse way, I believe. Because, we don't have to work only for the rich people, and we don't have to only work for the such a social problem. So we can always see both of them, or all of the such a different problems in a wider viewpoint. And as Odile says, to integrate or to remix in a sense, again, those kind of a divided things in a integrated situations to make a good relationships again. I believe it's quite like exciting things.
This is the thing, isn't it, Adil, that potentially architecture has as a discipline, and in that combination with planning, the capacity to see problems ahead of us, rather than react to disaster, as we seem to be doing in a lot of our urban spaces, to actually predict.
Yes, I think that this is the essence of architecture, to mix everything and to look at and to care of all the disciplines together. You can't isolate the question and isolate the problem, because otherwise we do only products. And I don't believe in architecture as a product. For me, architecture is a question of how to create a life for people, providing them a place for living, to be more comfortable that for their life, and at the same time be able to have all the generations together, to meet regeneration, to meet different social questions, person, etc. So to integrate everybody inside the city.
So how, Adil, do we reposition the architecture away from being a thing which is engaged by the maker of a building into a discipline which has that breadth, which has that sort of social vision?
This is what I tried with my school, you know. What do I try with my
school? Leading question.
Yes, because it's so important today to think that, you know that we are in the 21st century, and the students today are already born in the 21st century. So we face students, we don't know anything about the 20th. And so they have to invent, first to dream, but after that to invent and to build this century, and we have to help them. And we have to look at how they live, how they want to live, because this is for them. This is not for us, we are too old. And this is for them, the life is tomorrow. And we have to have a prospective vision for that. And this is really what the politicians lack a lot.
What do you think, Sue, about that sort of evolving position of the discipline of architecture? Where does it, what place does it find in the future and in constructing these spaces of the future?
It's really great to share those kind of visions for our future life affected by the climate changes and urbanizations, but still we have a hope to have a better living environment. And many ideas, I think, are happening, and especially the integrating nature and architecture and involving the neighborhood people to the project are quite powerful, I think.
I mean, architecture can be almost at its best an embodiment of hope. A building can be inspiring and therefore lead to that sort of positivity.
I think so, yeah. Because, yeah, anyway, the architecture and urban design is creating a place for our life in the future. And whatever kind of the new ideas for our better life could bring the hope or inspirations for people to think about it.
Is Adil, is architecture succeeding in that mission at the moment, in perhaps giving hope?
I hope. I hope too, because otherwise I don't know why I will be an architect. Because if I can't think that, or I can believe that I will provide hope for people, why doing architecture?
Like a wonderful point on which to end with that flood of optimism. Thank you so much for both some fine ideas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Adil Dek and Sue Fujimoto, they're award-winning architects both and were key speakers at the Sherman Centre for Culture and Ideas Architecture Hub. That was on in Sydney. Now, for details of all of that, check scci.org.au. All the details there of that star-studded event. And this is Blueprint here on RN.